What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her.
Bitch. Bless a red wine and a swisher. I think you get the picture. Bitch.
Here I go.
Oh. Read about that in the New York fucking Post.
Let's do it. Hi.
Hello.
I'm a beast, Cameron Diaz, 49, turned her back on beauty standards after leaving Hollywood and never washes her face.
Okay. Never washes her face? Like, nothing before bed? Like, a quick little spritz?
We have some International Women's Day news. Never washing her face. Queen of not washing her face. Queen of hygiene. Queen of beauty. Queen of Charlie's Angels.
Because the patriarchy wants you to wash your face. They want you to put water on your skin.
The patriarchy wants you to take a shower.
Scientists hate her.
Okay, so.
Local dermatologists hate her. Sorry, continue.
So Cameron Diaz was the star of the Daily Mail this week. So let's talk about
this.
I'm going to just read this to you because... why not, right?
Well, no one writes better than the Daily Mail. I mean, we deal some psychic damage to y'all, but reading the Daily Mail
worst
raw?
People alive with the most just absolutely demented copy on that website. Okay, so quote, she was once a Hollywood it girl, but after Cameron Diaz left the glitz and glamour of celebrity life nearly a decade ago, she also ditched societal beauty standards.
Oh my God.
The 49-year-old revealed that she rarely thinks about her appearance anymore and never washes her face, despite owning a billion personal care products. Diaz opened up about how freeing her life is now that she is out of the limelight in a new interview with RuPaul's Drag Race star Michelle Visage on her BBC podcast Rule Breakers. Cameron called the allure of Hollywood such a trap, which she escaped following her marriage to Benji Madden in 2015. Again, I just go back to the trap of it all, especially in our society, like what we value, what we think is important, she told Michelle. Look, if it's important to you, that's fine. Diaz has reportedly turned down nearly $100 million in film offers since her exit from the A-list, but doesn't appear to have any regrets. Must be nice to turn down $100 million. Quote, I am absolutely a victim to all the societal objectifications and exploitations that women are subjected to, she said. Quote, I have bought into all of them myself at a certain time. It's hard not to. It's hard not to look at yourself and judge yourself against other markers of beauty. And I think that's one of the biggest things the last eight years, girl. I'm like, what the fuck is she saying? Quote,
yeah, I'm like,
and I think that's one of the biggest traps of the last 8 years, girl. I'm like wild. I'm like a wild animal. I'm a beast. Okay, sure. One unexpected positive is being able to put less emphasis, if any, on her appearance these days. Quote, I don't care. Literally the last thing I think about on a daily basis, like maybe not at all during the day, is what I look like. No, I literally do nothing. I literally never wash my face. Okay. You know what? It's International Women's Day, so I'm not... It's International Women's Day Part 4, so I'm not going to... I'm not going to pick apart Cameron's belief in the patriarchal standards of beauty for women in Hollywood, and I'm not going to interrogate her claims about never washing her face, and I'm certainly not going to talk about the $100 million she turned down. But I absolutely must talk about Michelle Visage and her new podcast Rule Breakers. Okay, so I'm scrolling through this Daily Mail. That's gonna be our side project, Daily Maily, where we just read the Daily Mail. So,
I would absolutely do it.
Actually, no, we're not gonna do that. But I'm reading this Daily Mail article. I'm like, la 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 la, like skipping on through, like fucking Goldilocks. And I'm scrolling. And
the big bad wolf comes out and gets you.
Suddenly, I am accosted by a life size anthropomorphic Pikachu. And I'm like, what? What? I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Okay, so...
So Pikachu also doesn't wash their face, right?
That's, so, so you know how the Daily Mail, if you've ever had to go to that website for any godforsaken reason, you'll know they do these like slideshow galleries over the captions for things in the article.
Yeah.
And it's like an SEO strategy to like stuff more like headline features into the article.
Yeah, every time you click the next image, it like refreshes the link in the ad copy.
Uh-huh. I don't care. So the the caption for this image is, "I don't care, camera equipped Michelle Visage pictured. Literally the last thing I think about on a daily basis. Like, I'm not at all during the day thinking about what I look like. No, no, I literally do nothing. I, like, never wash my face." But the photo that they have for Michelle Visage is Michelle Visage holding an actual Pokeball with Pikachu coming up behind her, looking like he's about to do a murder.
No,
right?
Really? I have so many questions.
No, literally, like, this Pikachu is twice the size of Michelle Visage.
You would think she, like, popped Cameron Diaz out of that Pokeball.
She, like, has her gray hair on full display. She's, like, wearing, like, God knows what, an Anna Sui dress over, like, an Hervé Leger, like, wrap thing. It's a lot. It's a lot. But I'm looking at this. I'm like, why is this the photo they chose for Michelle Visage, right?
And they,
like,
give no source, they had really here, like, nothing, no info.
No, nothing. It's just a Shutterstock image. And I'm like, out of every single image that they have for Michelle Visage...
Is this the cheapest one?
Like, the cheapest almost one to license? Every single one in this image is just Michelle Visage and the Pikachu. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Why is Michelle Visage hanging out with a Pikachu? So... It actually gets way weirder. Okay, so that photo of Michelle Visage, that's not, like, the first Shutterstock image that, like, because sometimes it's, like, if I'm going to write an article about X, Y, or Z celebrity, I'm going to grab the, like, first Getty image I see, right? Like, I'm not going to scroll to find, like, the perfect image. But this image is, like, on page 40 of Shutterstock at the moment for Michelle Visage. It was literally almost a year old. And it's from and I saw most of this in an article in a Radio Times exclusive from last October, in which the headline reads, quote, "Michelle Visage reveals Pokemon pet fashion contest and love for Pokemon Diamond and Pearl."
Sure. Sure.
I'm going to read this to you.
It's giving, like, Nicole Kidman playing Nintendogs, like, or like Beyonce, like, with her DS.
Okay.
Like, sure, that happened.
Okay. "Michelle Visage might not be the first person you think about when you think about Pokemon, but the RuPaul's Drag Race judge is, in fact, a long-term fan of Nintendo's critter-catching multimedia franchise. Visage is now teaming up with the Pokemon Company for the ultimate crossover event.
The ultimate crossover event.
A pet fashion contest where fans are encouraged to dress up their own critters in celebration of Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl's impending release on Nintendo Switch. Surrounded by cute canons at the Okay. This next sentence is going to be hard to get through. Surrounded by cute canines at the Dandy Dog Cafe in London, Radio Times met up with Michelle Visage to talk about this surprising pop culture crossover. It turns out that Visage owes her Pokemon fandom to her daughter Lily's love of the games.
Oh, here we go.
Visage recalls that Lily started not with the original, but with 2002 Game Boy Advance games, Ruby and Sapphire. "And I started playing with her because as a mother, I wanted to know what she was playing. I wanted to know what she's playing, and that's kind of how it started. And Lily is still fully involved. And it's not just something that, as a mother, you feel okay with your kid playing, especially as everything else going on these days. It's a safe space and creative and fun." And there's a photo of Michelle Visage blowing into a cartridge of Pokemon Crystal while holding an original Game Boy. Like, you remember how we used to have to blow into the cartridges sometimes because they wouldn't connect? She's, like, blowing into a Pokemon Crystal cartridge while literally giving a lap dance to Pikachu. Okay. Visage and Lily particularly enjoyed 2006's Pokemon Diamond and Pearl on the Nintendo DS to such an extent that Visage was moved to tweet in January this year, "I want a Pokemon Diamond and Pearl remake. No, I demand it." 1 month later, Nintendo went ahead and announced Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, the exact remakes that she was hoping for. Did Nintendo and the Pokemon Company bow to Visage's demands?
Oh my god.
Everybody loved that tweet, Visage declared in our interview. That's right, because faggots fucking love Pokemon.
I was about to.
She added in jest, "I'd like to say that's how we ended up here today, that I created the remake. I'm sure they did not have it on the books for the past 10 years, but yeah, I'm going to take credit for it. And then there's a photo of her holding a cat. It's like every photo from this is wilder and wilder.
Michelle Visage loves Pokemon and rescue animals. Inspired by
super contest shows that will appear in Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, Visage was asked to judge a real-life super pet contest in which fans can enter their pet pictures in the categories cute, clever, and cool. Is this an easy gig to say yes to? Visage replies, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? I don't think my daughter would have spoken to me ever again if I said no. And you know, pets and rescue pets is a big cause of mine. So being a part of super pet contests is like a no-brainer. The world's getting to be a crazy place, she adds. Lord. And I think that brings you joy, or things that bring you joy are really important. Rescuing animals. Not only are you doing the animal service and preventing it from being euthanized, but you're also bringing joy into your home.
Girl, how does this relate to Pokemon?
People often say it's expensive, and it's really not. There's so many ways around it, and the joy is immeasurable. And you know, you can rescue a dog and save a life and save your life as well. And Pokemon characters are just as important.
Are they?
Just as adorable.
Are they, Michelle? Pokemon characters are just as important as an actual dog in a shelter.
If you're name wondering, more iconic Visage duo has a long-term soft spot for Piplup, but her favorite Pokemon at the moment is Lopunny. She's like, I like the slut. Explaining why she chose Lopunny, Visage describes the rabbit-inspired creature like so. She's sexy. She's a badass B-word. The Drag Race Pokemon crossover starts here. Okay.
Oh my god.
Oh boy. She's like, I love the slut Pokemon. Love Bunny, giving baddie, giving doll behavior. Like,
I love the name of more iconic duo than Pikachu, Miss Salvage Saws. I'm like, whoever would have said this? Who in the right moment would have ever said this?
I'm obsessed with whatever homosexual wrote this article too, by the way. Like, shout out to you, really. You archived.
Nintendo was like, oh, the faggots? The wildest. Oh, we gotta get them somehow. Okay, we got it. Let's get Michelle.
This is wild. Okay, there's another article I'm not going to read, but I do just want to tell you about it. Alec Baldwin pushes babies Eduardo and Lucia in a stroller during walk with wife Hilaria in NYC after actors accused those suing him over Helena Hutchins' death of being money motivated.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Like, I read that also. That was the next article promoted to me in the Daily Times. I mean, the Daily Mail under this Cameron Diaz article. And I was like, what kind of fucking hell algorithm is this site ran on? Like, why is this the next article I'm being force fed on this fucking website? Like, I'm already having whiplash from Pokemon Michelle Visage and Cameron Diaz's unwashed body. Like, I don't need to talk about Alec Baldwin anymore. Do you want to talk about this Khloe Kardashian thing?
Sure. So I'm literally just bringing up the headline here because I don't want to talk too much about it. But Khloe Kardashian defends family's reported 9-figure paycheck for Hulu show.
They're each getting 9 figures?
Okay, so let's actually read a little bit of it because I had the exact same question. So that Hulu show, obviously now the press cycle is ramping very high up. So... cough up the cash. Khloe Kardashian fiercely defended her family raking in a reported 9-figure paycheck for their upcoming Hulu reality show. We give so much of our personalized up for entertainment. The Good American co-founder, 37, sent a Variety cover story published Wednesday.
Good American co-founder, they call her.
We always have our private family conversations, and we're pretty brutal, me and my sisters, with what we will settle for and not settle for.
Okay, but that's your choice.
Kardashian, who clan moved to the streaming service after 20 seasons of Keeping Up with the Kardashians on E, added, quote, not all money is good money. It has to be a good fit, and Hulu was just the perfect fit for us. She also revealed that her family members will make the same amount of money from the Kardashians, telling the magazine, we are all equals. Momager Kris Jenner, who works on many of the daughters' business deals, also opened up about pivoting to a fresh start. Well, money always matters, she said about the network move. I think that anybody would be foolish to say that money doesn't matter anymore. Girl, what? Jenner, 66, who also teased that the first family of reality TV may have had a bidding war or two on their hands before going to Hulu. Quote, we had options for sure, but I'm not one to kiss and tell.
But you're kissing and telling right now.
Like right now.
And Chris is the one who told everyone how much money you're making.
Kardashian chimed in that when it comes to negotiations, Jenner steps up to the bat. Quote, she fights like a pit bull, she said. Insiders told Variety that the Kardashian Jenners are earning 9 figures from Hulu, which falls under the Disney umbrella. The streamer did not confirm the number, but notably did not deny offering a pretty penny for the new show either. And then there's more things like, oh, we really stepped it up. And, you know,
I do want to read this quote from Walt Disney. Oh, yeah. So I do want to read this quote from Walt Disney Television Chairman of Entertainment, Daniel Walden, who said, quote, we stepped up to a great deal that they very much deserve. Who would you want more for your unscripted slate than the Kardashians? They perfectly symbolize our strategy, which is taking big shots, but the big right shots, and betting on incredible talent and best-in-class opportunities in each genre.
Big shots. They're taking the big right shots. What does that mean? She already done her big shots.
Okay, let's move on. This is enough.
Oh, we have some NFT news and Sia news.
Did you all feel the
something shifted?
Wait, something shifted, Mama. Feel the energy evaporate out of the room. Was that just me?
It's like when I sang happy birthday to you last week and you're like, I'm not horny anymore. This is like, I'm not alive anymore. Like,
after yeah. What's going on?
Okay. So Sia reveals she is mystery crypto collector Bianca de Medici.
What? Okay. Okay.
Okay. This is from the Daily Beast. The enigmatic pop star, singer Sia, has been keeping a big secret that she just revealed on Twitter. The Australian artist says she is a crypto influencer and NFT collector known as Bianca de Medici. The tweet in question is quote, I am at Bianca Medici 69. Now, if you go to at Bianca Medici 69 on Twitter, now, obviously, she has been posting a lot more as, like, I am Sia, blah, blah, blah. You'll see a lot of bizarre tweets, extremely crypto influencer, and that I barely understand what she's saying or what's going on whatsoever. Tons of retweets. Before she revealed that it was Sia, she had been tweeting basically polls like, who am I? Am I Reese Witherspoon? Am I Martha Stewart? Like, am I blah, blah, blah? And she's been doing kind of like a, you know, like, who am I? Like, should I reveal my identity? Like, what does it mean to be anonymous? Like, all this just weird, terrible shit. But one of these tweets specifically that she posted recently, now that she's revealed that it is Sia, she posts this picture. Link is in the description, as usual. And Jonah, I'd like you to click on this picture.
I'm already there.
I thought so. So we see what I guess is Sia. Wearing what I guess could be described as a NFT muumuu. And a bow and mask, and she's holding in one hand toothpaste and in the other hand a toothbrush. She says, quote, just rocking out with my cock out, wearing one of my secret collections to the dentist. Overdressed? Never. Must spread word, must onboard as many normies as possible. I'll be back here and on lit post dentist and should have a Discord set up V soon so we can GM on the daily. Now, did you understand anything she just said there? Like, did you understand any of those words strung together? Because I sure as fuck didn't. First of all, cock out. What the fuck is she talking about in this? And then lit post dentist. Is lit an acronym? GM on the daily? Like, Discord? Like, I don't understand. So she also posted recently, like, after kind of revealing what she was talking about here. Oh yeah, GM is good morning. Ashley's saying, like, NFT loser speak, literally. Yeah, I forgot that. I actually forgot from, like, our NFT coverage. There's, like, this whole thing about, like, NFT people on Discord, like, basically doing, like, you know, good morning posts to each other and, like, it kind of being a part of the ritual of, like, an NFT trader and hustler. I completely forgot about
the
that.
Way
thank
that
you,
this,
Ashton, for
the way
about that
this tweet
horror.
Literally has 100 billion replies already. Like,
oh, absolutely. And then everyone also, my favorite thing is everyone basically trying to get Sia to, like, buy their NFTs is my favorite. She also tweeted, dear friends, thanks for being so cool and letting me into your world. I got into Bitcoin in 2016, picked up some altcoins in 2017, but was never much of a speculator. I became a fan of Vitalik Buterin, who's, like, an NFT influencer, and his particular genius. But it wasn't until I saw the birth of punks, kitties, and the wave of art that followed that I truly fell in love. and I mean down the rabbit hole, a total degen, multiple wallets, JPEG addict, kind of love at the core. I'm an artist and appreciate any medium that allows people to express who they are inside. I hope that you'll allow me to keep supporting this ecosystem, sharing and creating things that can help move the genre forward. I love you all. See ya.
I'm so sorry. Some of these tweets are asking people to donate Ethereum and Bitcoin and Tether to the Ukraine.
Now, is it not shocking that Sia believes this is real art? Is it not shocking that
none of this is shocking?
That she's wearing a muumuu of stitched together NFT apes and monkeys to the dentist's office so she can quote unquote onboard as many normies as possible. It's not shocking, but
make up all the money from that fucking terrible movie that flopped somehow. Can I talk to you about Camila Cabello, by the way?
Oh, fuck. After we did the Cinderella movie, I was like, she died. Like, I don't know what happened to her.
Are you ready for the best? This Leftovers is exclusively us reading to you all the most cursed articles we read this week. Like, just word for word.
Please, okay. Please.
Are you ready for the worst Us Weekly article you've ever read in your life? Okay, are you ready for this?
No.
I'm going to read this straight because there is no other way to digest what you are about to experience ever. I couldn't summarize this to you if I tried. Calm, cool, and collected. Camila Cabello may have flashed her nipple on the One Show, but she handled the entire situation like a total pro.
That's the headline?
No, that's we're starting
okay.
The article.
Oh, we're starting the article. Okay.
The 25-year-old actress made an appearance on the British show on Monday, March 7th, to promote her new single, Bam Bam. All was well and good.
Until
the singer was tasked with showing off her favorite dance moves from her music video. Cabello, who was wearing light wash jeans and a red button-up, stood up to get ready to move before casually revealing that she kept her pants unbuttoned for the virtual appearance.
What?
I actually undid one of my pants because I had to get a sandwich and I gotta make it easy for myself today, she joked to the show's host. Once the final button on her jeans was secured, the Cinderella star geared up to show off her favorite dance moves. But as she started to show off her step, step, step hit salsa groove, her patterned top slipped over her shoulder and revealed her right breast. I just flashed you, Cabello casually said before completing her entire routine perfectly. Seriously, she didn't skip one single beat. When all was said and done, the actress quipped, quote, I hope you didn't see nipple. Even though there was a surefire wardrobe malfunction, Cabello handled the situation like an expert and fans took notice. Following the clip, they took social media by storm. Quote, Camila Cabello's response to her nip slip was so well played off. I would not have been able to keep my cool, a person tweeted. While another joked, Camila Cabello is 25 and handled a nip slip on live national telly way better than I, a 34-year-old, can handle anything can handle finding out we've run out of milk.
What?
Somebody else said, Camila handled that nip slip like a fucking boss. She seemed so lovely.
It's years taken off my life. I have to listen to this. Happy International Women's History Month.
She handled it like a total fucking boss. She's only 25 and she handled showing a nip on television better than I handle running out of milk as a 34-year-old.
You know, it's been rough for her since she left Sean. Like, they don't have much to work with anymore.
Can we just get live on the scene with the Us Weekly writer that had to Google Camila Cabello nip slip on Twitter? They're like, gotta log in for the day. Gotta log my 5 SEO articles.
We love the copy paste.
Oh, boy. Amazing. Okay. Willow Pill came out as trans, I see.
Yes.
Congratulations to Carrie Colby for converting basically half the nation at this point.
What's that TikTok audio? Ooh, another one. Thank you. Ooh, another one. Thank you. There's like five girls have come out.
Oh, yeah. There's also the meme everyone's been posting about, like, Carrie Colby as the Grim Reaper going in and out of all the doors. No, it's great. You know, Willow came out as trans. Bosco has also come out as trans.
Jackie Kennedy.
Yeah, Jackie Kennedy.
Jasmine Kennedy. I'm so sorry.
Jackie Kennedy. She left her much-needed dentist appointment and came out as trans. Jackie Kennedy went chomp, chomp. And just poof, there she was, trans.
I fully said Jackie Kennedy. Like, I was like, that's
you
her
fully
name.
Said Jackie.
And then I was like, wait a day. Wait a darn minute.
Yeah, Jasmine. That was so funny. I'm sorry.
Jasmina Kennedy.
Jasmine Kennedy came out. Cornbread also came out. Congrats to everybody.
Love it.
Love it. I also hear UK vs. the World ended.
Did you watch that finale?
I haven't seen since Pangina exited, mostly because, like,
it was so horrible.
I'll just say this.
Upsetting to watch. You know,
all you little faggots have been running your mouths on this app and on lots of apps and on the internet, on Twitter, on Reddit. About how, like, it's not fair that that Pangina went home, or that Jimbo went home, or that, like, anybody went home. And I'm not going to, like, relitigate that, like, at all. I literally don't care. Like, Jimbo made a big move, and it backfired. And then Pangina made a big move, and it backfired. So, like, that's how you play the game. But what I will say is that the All-Stars format has once again sucked all the fun out of the format.
It's horrible. We have to stop. We have, like, to stop.
It's not that, like, not the game was the played improperly, or that, like, the wrong person won or the wrong person went home. Like,
well,
No. I'm going to say this. As that format is set up, the right person won. Because that's true. The format.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the format is not the best of the best is going to win.
No.
The format is whoever survives until the end is going to win.
And then, well, also at the end, and not really a spoiler here, it's a top four out of a cast of nine, which is basically just, like, half the cast.
Yeah.
And then they make them lip sync for their lives and battle for the top.
Who won again?
Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, I'm not going to watch it.
Girl. Well, spoilers, obviously, for people who haven't seen it. Blue.
Of course.
Because why not?
Yeah, of course one of the British queens were going to get it. Duh.
It was just so upsetting for it to be US versus the UK at the end. I was like, none of them, please. I mean, actually, I do like Mo a lot. I feel like she deserved to be in the top four. Baga, yes, deserves to be in the top four.
It's just more that, like,
but Blue and Juju being there, it was just like when Pangina and Jimbo were, like, right there, you know.
No, and you know what? Jimbo's an asshole. Like, I'll say it.
Oh,
like,
yeah, all that.
Jimbo's an asshole.
All that drama.
And the whole thing about, like, oh, that's just her persona. No, I really do think Jimbo's
asshole. She sounds like a total bitch.
I do think she's a total diva asshole and probably extremely hard to work
with. But that doesn't matter when
but
it comes
to... But this is a reality
Baga's
show.
Baga's a Tory, so, like...
Yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying.
Baga's, like, out here, like, vote Tory. Like,
no, it's just more that, like... The format sucked the fun out because, like, the whole thing with Drag Race, that Drag Race has been lacking. And I wrote about this in my piece on UK versus the World, and not in UK versus the World, on UK season 3 that you can go read on our website or our blog. And I said the same thing about season 14, but, like, they have remixed the format of Drag Race to such a degree that the normal momentum of a Drag Race season has essentially evaporated into thin air. And rather than feeling like it is a contest of, like, endurance and will,
and talent,
it is just a gimmick that is being changed to sate viewer appetites for gimmicks and twists and surprises, right? Like, if you think about it, on this season of season 14... of the main series, we have had 2 episodes, I think, now where nobody went home.
Yep.
We are having another episode
coming
up.
Well, 3, technically, because the first 2 episodes, they each eliminated Queen, but then brought both of them back later.
No. What I'm saying is we've had 2 ones where they came home, where no one went home. Then we had another one where we have another one coming up where someone will go home but get saved because the chocolate bar is still in play. We've had 1 queen have to leave the competition because of an injury.
Yep.
We've had 2 queens come back. We've had 2...
And a double Shantae You Stay.
Yeah, we've had double Shantae You Stay. We've had an episode where everyone's a winner, baby. Like, we had a winner lip sync. Like, there's no actual pace of this season where, you know...
There are, like, 10 queens on the show still. And we're, like, we have 7 episodes.
They did the reading challenge 2 episodes ago, but didn't do Snatch Game.
Yeah, Snatch Game is now coming up. I'm pretty sure it's episode 8 at this point.
Yeah, no, but
Snatch Game.
But
it's like, what the fuck is going on?
Well, because usually Snatch Game only works with like 8 or 7, like 7 or 8
people. They usually do, I think, yeah, 8 or 10 queens.
And they've had 12 people on the show for like the last 6 episodes. So like, it's just this thing now where like you're watching it and the stakes are gone.
Yeah, you're like, what matters?
You feel like someone is going home.
There's no criteria.
Yeah, and then also you can like feel the producers playing the game rather than the contestants playing the game.
And it also just results in all the confessionals being the same because yeah. nobody has any idea what's going on. So they all yeah. say it's all some, it's everybody's game. Oh, like we're yeah. all equal. Like and you don't know what's going to happen next week. Like top here, bottom the next.
I was like, talking about this with friend of the pod, Heron, but like, we were talking about our like favorite seasons or whatever. And I was saying that like, contrary to, I think the popular narrative, season 13 was actually not that charismatic, but it was an extremely well-produced season, despite yeah. all of the like things that had going against it, like COVID shit, like yeah. coronavirus. And so like it was so well-produced that despite some of like the lacking charisma from a lot of its cast, they popped on screen because the producers were really like playing into the correct storylines and playing up the right storylines and bringing out the best in these people who otherwise I think had everything working against them. Whereas in season 14, what's super interesting is that there are so many genuinely charismatic people on this season.
There like, are. Yeah. It's a good cast, actually.
It's one of the best casts we've had in a really long time.
Yeah.
One of the most like genuinely like fresh off the gate, like iconic casts we've had in a long mm-hmm. time. And I mean iconic in that like people are going to be talking about this for a very long time, right? Yeah. Like if you actually think about season 13, what actually popped about season 13?
I literally think of the winner only.
No, Simonia, of course, but also Candy and Tamisha. And besides that, what I'm saying is like there was no like real like breakouts in terms of like things we like most remember. It's mm-hmm. the Flag Factory, Denali's horrible lip sync, and the Tamisha and Candy fight, and all the Tamisha stuff that happened on social media after that was like,
yeah, the
extraneous
way more
to
has
the actual
come after the
material.
Show than on yeah. it itself.
But season 14, there's literally so much. There's the Georgia's lip sync. There's the Matty Morphosis and Jasmine Kennedy lip sync.
Yeah.
There's a dragonfly.
Oh my
There's
God. So funny.
Like a billion things. There's like so many things from the talent show. There's like every, like Cornbread's exit video where she was funnier than every single person like actually on that show to begin with. There's Bosco's excellent setup and punchline for how Rue wants everyone to carry her casket so that she can let them down one more time or they can let her down one more time, blah, blah, blah. Like there's so many things this season. I mean, even the fart, which was bad, like the fart gag, like
oh,
that's
yeah.
pretty memorable because they've never punked the cast like that.
Yeah, and it was funny and it was good, honestly.
For what it was a genuine remix on the format. But there's also all of these like extraneous gimmicks, right? Like we've had a double Shantae and the chocolate bar still in play, and everyone has had to say no, it's chocolate, and Cornbread went home, and there was an episode where no one went home, and the first two eliminated queens in the double part premiere came back into the competition, and one of them is still here, so she actually has made it farther into the competition than the people that were eliminated like after her elimination. Like there's a lot happening.
Yeah, it's
and it's playing against the genuine charisma that they're all bringing.
See, that's
to
what
the
you're saying. Like the production is just really dropping the
and
ball.
And it's
like,
weird to see it such a heel turn because last season was genuinely very well produced. And this season, the producers are actively working against
and we have like
what's actually popping.
And we had like Willow and Carrie multiple times do like amazing work, clearly worthy of critique because it's very different and interesting. And they would just put them in safe. Like they were constantly choosing the safe people as the tops.
Well, they
because
were
they don't want it to be unbalanced as the season
goes on. They
were
prioritizing storylines over like yeah. what was actually
constantly.
Popping.
And
I actually
upsetting. It's like
have,
why?
I'm going to make this claim right now. I don't think that season 13 was because these are good producers. I think that they got very lucky with who they chose to pardon the pun, hang their flags up on
yeah.
in season 13.
Yeah.
Whereas in season 14, it is so obvious that they have grossly misinterpreted who is going to pop on camera and who the viewers are. Because that's what it is.
They're betting on the long term winners. They're betting on the people who are going to be in All Stars and the people who are going to be flops.
They're resting on who they think is going to be the fan favorites and the big drama. But like, it's kind of interesting how their Georges play all season long has backfired on them.
Yeah.
Because they literally, I do genuinely believe they thought Georges was going to be like the breakout ooh la la sensation, to quote Monique.
Yeah, because Rue, like episode like one was like, you're born to do drag. Like, this and is clearly your future.
It's been a complete slog and to it's get like, through girl, every single what scene is with Georges. What's
going on here?
Like, I mean, get the girl back in high school. Like, we need to like,
it's funny because like the reactions from everybody are like the same as ours. Like, honestly, every week there's someone going like,
one of the biggest criminal acts on reality television in a long time. And I'm just going to say it. I don't like that lady. I don't think we'd be friends in real life because she seems extremely intense. But Diabetti is correct about Georges.
Oh,
her
thoughts
that she's being framed as the villain.
I can't stand her either, but she was right about that.
Georges, and I'm stealing this joke from Twitter, so if you made this joke, go off. But like, Georges is coming out in the Target 5 for $5 panty and bra set every week. And you literally expect us to think that she is somehow born to do drag in a way that any of these contestants are not. And when she comes out in a panty and a bra, while other contestants are actually putting the work in to make interesting clothes, at least, even if they're not pretty, like, it's just wild to see her win for putting some cookie cutters on a literal corset that was given to her by the producers.
And Michelle Visage, Lily, famous for saying, it's a piece of fabric. 10,000 years ago at this point, is literally looking at Georges saying, I love the simplicity. I love this one piece of fabric.
Just last season, eliminated someone because you glued things onto a corset.
It's like...
And Daya was right that the producers give them those corsets in case they actually cannot sew so that they do not walk out there with nothing to show for themselves.
Oh, it's so upsetting.
And
it's
like, so upsetting. Daya's look was terrible. Daya, again, equal parts correct, equal parts horrifically wrong.
Oh my God. And they kept her for so long.
Like a Halloween Party City costume. And that's fine. She at least made it. Right? She at least sewing was involved.
It goes for something.
But yeah, it's just nuts. They've really placed their bets on the worst people this season. And it's very interesting.
Well, you can see they're scrambling now and they're starting to like reorganize who actually is going to be a breakout star.
You know, I think also that we are giving them a little bit of a disservice because the power vacuum that Cornbread left this season is
absolutely stunning.
And I do just want to say, in Cornbread's defense, I don't know if you keep up with like the Drag Race drama online.
Girl, I'm watching Race Chaser. I'm watching the recaps. The fandom
has gone from deifying Cornbread to villainizing her because
she like quit Twitter and had her moment.
And like she was getting actual death threats, so blah, blah, blah. Stupid. And everyone's like, oh, you know, like she's a bully online. She's evil. We don't like her anymore. And I do just want to point out that this seems to be the running thing with specifically black queens on RuPaul's Drag Race, where they are held to like almost like saintly status by the fandom immediately simply for existing. And then they prove to be humans with like fallibilities and like inconsistencies to their personalities. And suddenly it's like, how dare we ever thought of you as our God and second coming of Jesus Christ? You're evil and a bitch and a villain, and we all hate you and wish you never did drag again and deleted your Twitter and just died. It's like we do this every season.
Every time.
And watching them just completely flip on Cornbread is wild, considering the season's not even over. She's not even on TV. And like... she's not doing anything online.
No, really,
that
no.
I mean, Georges literally was out here telling Cynthia Lee Fontaine she should have died in a car crash.
I forgot about that.
People are like, Cornbread is literally the second coming of the devil. Like, it's nuts. It's really nuts. And I feel like Silky got the same treatment just recently in All Stars. Like, I'm not trying to defend like Silky going to Puerto Vallarta or like anything. Like Silky doesn't need me to defend her, but I do think that there is this pattern that happens, especially with the way people prop Black queens up to be literal saints and then are disappointed when human beings are not actually religious figures in real life.
Or like, yeah, like they're perfect beings. And then I really hate the most is that it feels like with Drag Race, queens are not allowed to literally be mean whatsoever.
No.
Because the amount of times queens will literally say, on God, I have told my favorite sister to like kill herself. It's just a funny joke we say. They don't mind unless they're telling me I should die and like are calling me out for saying these terrible things. Like, don't assume it's all in bad faith.
No.
Because these queens will say horrible things to each other and it's for fun because they're friends.
And
they're all like, cancel her now. Like, we can't trust her. She's disgusting.
Well, and I've seen this in the Drag Race fandom too, like literally this morning. Like, people are saying to Daya and to Jimbo, like, wow, like, they're just playing characters on TV. Like, why are you guys so mad at them? They're bringing the drama that we want. And then someone like Cornbread or Silky brings that same drama, brings the same quote,
through, like, a tweet.
Messiness.
Through, like,
through
a tweet. A dumb tweet.
Or, like, a confessional. And then suddenly it's like, we need to cancel their careers and make sure they never work again.
You, like, contact.
Meanwhile, it's like, Jimbo's just, like, a baby clown. Like, oh.
They're literally, like, go to World of Wonder right now and tell them to get.
Small bean Jimbo. Like, come on, guys.
No,
it's
not
so
small
obvious.
Bean Jimbo. Please.
But anyways, I just had to get that off my chest because it's been really bothering me.
No, I mean, the Drag Race community proves yet again it has absolutely no media literacy, yet are somehow in every corner facet and part of the internet.
Yeah, and I'm just going to warn you right now. A video came out about Mo Hart at a festival in Tel Aviv just this morning, and if you want to have peace in your life, do not go looking for it, and also do not read what people are saying about it, because I've never met a more illiterate fan base than Drag Race viewers in my life.
That's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, that is truly a conversation for another day. So,
well, girls,
get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, please. I already ordered some food.
Is that what you've been looking at your phone at this whole time?
She got to put in the order for the flautas, mama. Like, I need
what
it
did
now.
You get?
I got flautas.
Well, that must be nice for you.
Some chicken flautas and some agua frescas.
Well, yeah.
From our favorite place. You know it. I'm starving.
You didn't even ask what I wanted, so that's really nice of you.
Well, I'm not ordering for you. I'm going home to eat this with my man. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice that you're not going to have to shit it all in my bathroom.
I bought you a quesadilla last week.
We know. You've told everyone multiple times.
And I made Korean barbecue.
That's very true.
Well, I arranged it. You made the food a little bit.
Yeah, I did actually. I had to cook on my birthday.
Happy International Women's History.
Are you hearing this? The man made me cook for all the other men in my life on my birthday. So congratulations.
For the special lady's birthday, I had her cook a nice barbecue dinner for us.
Matthew said, women do belong in the kitchen.
Here's the tongs.
At their own birthday
Here's
parties.
The grill. Make it work.
Anyways, three. Yes. I didn't do the dishes though, so that's empowerment. Three.
Two, one.
Hi, my name is BB Rexa, and I'm in the studio buying some cuneiform tablets you've never seen before. I'm going to remix this every week, and you're just going to have to live with it.
I love it.
Three, two, one. Bye, bitch.
Wait, yeah, hold up.
Got you.
Come on, if you know the words, let's go.
What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her.
A red wine and a sweet shirt. I think you get the picture.
Here I go. Ooh.